You can support this show at patreon.com/ASApodcasting. Welcome back, Skyrim Addict Podcast. I'm Michael, and with Ray.
Hello, hello.
Victor will probably be along in a bit. We're back. I know you said you had done a new build, right, with some mods and stuff.
Yeah.
And I went backwards and did Forge Master, which we talked about last time. I don't have a whole lot on it, so I'll go over that real quick. I was bouncing around between a few characters. I did find my Vanilla character, which still does work. Thankfully, I did find that. So I hopped into that for a bit. But I tried a bunch of different things, and nothing was like, you know, when you put in something, start a character, and it just doesn't.
Yeah. You can't get into it. You try really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I wanted to do Echoes of the Veil, the add-on for Forgotten Veil. Yeah. I was like, that'll probably be exciting. And then I was like, I ran through it, and I'm like, not really what I wanted.
Yeah.
But then Forge Master popped up for Xbox, so nice. I added that in. And just a simple load order, nothing crazy. Because I was going to mostly focus on that anyway. I don't even know if I really have any other quest stuff added in or anything like that. Just mostly graphics and stuff. So I ended up going with Live Another Life, obviously, and ended up starting with an Argonian working on the docks in Windhelm, the dock worker option. So I was like, he'll probably want to leave Windhelm because it's really cold and he's cold-blooded. I'm like, I'll make a journey to Whiterun and we'll learn some, because he wants to become a smith and he hears there's, you know, two smiths there at least in that town, and maybe he can get a chance to break in with one of them or something like that. So that was kind of the genesis of the Argonian becoming a smith and also mining and hunting to get the materials and stuff like that. So now his goal is to earn enough money to buy Tundra Homestead, because we stumbled across that while we were out hunting one evening outside of Whiterun. Whiterun's like kind of a great base for smithing, like if you want to, because you need leather and all that.
Right.
It's a great hunting area. Yeah.
And there's plenty of little ore veins all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, and a variety of types too.
That's the other good thing. As you get up into the hills, there's some stuff there for like deer and elk. You can shoot a pretty far distance because you can see pretty far because of the plains, kind of.
Yep.
And it's relatively low level enemies there when you start out. You're not running into like too many saber cats or anything. It's mostly wolves and things like that. I stumbled upon another idea for the character when I was just walking around, and I decided that he's friendly with giants because giants saved his family in some way. I was like, I don't really want to kill the giants in this play. I like the giants, so I don't really want to kill the giants in this playthrough.
Yeah, that's, unless you really get up and mess with them, they never mess with you.
Yeah, they leave you alone anyway.
So, unless you're, the Brotherhood of Steel and you have to, destroy all abominations, they're really just kind of, they're cool dudes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just wandering along. You can kite things to them to, help you out a little bit. The mammoths will help with, and really the mammoths have nothing you need either. You're not getting a mammoth hide that's like 400 leather or anything like that. Right. So
yeah, one of those really lasts the entire playthrough.
Yeah, you could. Exactly. Yeah. Now, if you did get a mammoth hide, I might have to actually hunt them, but I'll stick to the elk and the wolves and all that stuff.
Yeah. And Hunterborn will give that to you.
Yes. Yeah. Hunter. Yeah. Yeah. You can get more, much more from
that. It takes like, you know, 4 days to carve on it. But
yeah. Thank God things don't spoil. So do you guys ever turn on the taxidermy, you know, and all the other little, selectable things that Hunterborn has to offer?
I haven't used it in a long time.
I mean, I'm talking from a PC perspective. I don't know how it works on consoles, but there's all kinds of options in there. You can tell it to use other mods, added insects and animals and everything else. And then when you do that, it'll give you an option to classify anything that it doesn't know. So if you kill something that it doesn't recognize, then a little menu will pop up and you can tell it, you know, how much meat and how much this and that. It ends up being a little tedious after a while, but yeah, it adds more recipes and other stuff like that.
So. Oh, nice.
And then there's the Scrimshaw additions, you know.
Yes.
Scrimshaw I've used before, but the other stuff I haven't.
Yeah, I've used Scrimshaw as well before.
Yeah, it's good. And like the bone arrows that it adds are pretty powerful. I think they're like 24 hit points on it per arrow. So they're good. Yeah, and the bone armor looks kind of weird. It's like wearing a bone kilt or something.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's a little odd, but yeah.
Yeah, so I'm doing a ton of hunting. Cool. Each evening outside of Whiterun, and then collecting ore and, you know, going to the little mines in the area and stuff like that and clearing them out. And then just smithing a bunch of stuff and selling it, trying to earn some money to buy a house.
Nice. Yeah.
And Tundra Homestead, of course, the dream home with the smithing out right outside there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What do you need to buy it for? You can just use it.
Yeah, I know. I could just go use it, actually. Yeah, that's the weird part. I could just go use the smithing area and never worry about it. Because I don't really plan on doing any other questing.
Does that place actually have an interior?
Right.
Yeah.
I will tell you, don't get a lot of pets for the interior because it's not that big inside.
Okay. Oh, really? Wow.
So when you start getting like all the with the elytra and all that stuff wandering around after you, like if you do saints and sin, or was it saints and seducers.
Yeah,
then you get a bunch of stuff and then if you have kids, they start bringing foxes home and stuff. Then you have you're like tripping over everything to get through the
The last time I did that, I threw all the pets over at Hendraheim.
Good idea. Much bigger.
And kept the kids at Golden Hills Estate.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Whatever. So that seemed to work out pretty well. By the
Hendraheim's
way,
nice because it's got that big litter box in the middle of.
Yeah, it's great. I love that place. Yeah, it's easy to get to. You just go kill the poor sod at the door there.
Yes. Yeah.
And it also has exterior smithing.
Oh, that's right. That might be a good one too. I might have to think about that.
It is sensitive to one or two other mods, and I haven't ever really figured out. They're landscape mods. I think I had one. Mm. I loaded one. Actually, this last playthrough I was doing, I didn't go to Hendraheim at all. But one of them, there was something where the forge ended up almost below ground.
Weird.
Yeah. So yeah, something
that's the way it is for me in this.
Is it okay?
Current playthrough.
Have you
Most
figured
of the
out
time,
what
it's
it
fine.
Oh, okay.
You know, sometimes that little pine tree. Between the shack and the and the smithing area,
it'll
be like, you know, a foot off the ground.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's all discombobulated. Yeah. And I
this
just
last time it was buried. Everything was buried.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
Now, the other thing about Hendraheim is that I get a dragon spawn about every other visit.
Oh no.
Oh wow. Yeah. Oh, because of where it's located, maybe is there
Yeah, there's probably a spawn point there.
A burial, one of the mounds.
Yeah, just
there
right over the back.
Yeah.
It's great if you're, you know, set up to fight dragons. It sucks if you're not.
Yeah, really. Did either of you guys ever use this mod that goes way, way back, Riverside Lodge? It was downstream. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That had that problem. It was right on top of right near a dragon spawn point. I actually had that dragon spawn inside the lodge.
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah.
And it just totally fucked everything. Yeah. It just destroyed things everywhere.
Did it get like stuck in there, basically?
Yeah, it was like, and it was all havocy and everything, and just throwing shit around.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But it was a known problem, and the mod author fixed it at some point.
Yeah, that one's a long time. Yeah.
It was a really nice mod. I think it's still available for old. I deleted my legacy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I ran into like the third or fourth quest mod that bugged out on me, and I thought, fuck this, I can't, I'm done.
Time to start over.
Yeah, so I dumped it, and I immediately went and took went to Steam and downloaded the updates.
Mm.
So I just, scorched earth. That's it. It's
a fresh start.
So.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they had an archival feature to that where you could lighten that inventory load, hiding stuff or something. I don't know what they could do, but because you end up with so much inventory, when you're over 100 displays and the game has to keep you, the mod lets you access all that stuff. So if you need it back for something, you can get it.
Yeah. That has a lot. I think it has a lot to do with the way the game engine handles its databases, right? In other words, it's not really very efficient. It was never designed to do that kind of heavy lifting. But that wasn't even the problem really on this playthrough. It was just conflicts. There was that, the one we talked about a couple episodes ago where I basically gave up on the cause, I think it was.
Where you couldn't get through the door.
Right. The entry was inside the mountain somewhere and I tried and it would crash if I turned clipping off and it would crash. And so I gave up on that. And then there was another one. And then the last one was this Anatomancer, and which is a piece of the Vigilant. I think it's a late section of the Vigilant quest mod. And I got to that, and you have to go find the Anatomancer down in the Ratway. And I got there, and there's a door, and I clicked on the door, and nothing happened. But there was a dialogue prompt, so I clicked on the dialogue prompt, and nothing happened. And then I clicked again, and whoever's behind the door said, it was just a standard Skyrim line, whatever it was, dismissing me. Okay. You didn't even, there was a question you had to, anyway, it was just completely bugged out. And I thought, fuck this. I don't need this. I don't need to just throw it yet another one away because I wanted all these to work with anyway. So I just thought, I'm done. So it's gone. Sad. Sad face.
Yeah. No, I get that. At some point, I had the same thing. Some point, you just have to go, it's not working.
Yeah. And honestly, I was thinking, I'm going to go do what Michael's doing and just sort of put all my survival mods and Hunter Born and everything and just go kill things for a while.
Yeah.
Eat the meat and make clothes out of the skin.
That's it.
Yeah. And just enjoy Skyrim.
It took me a while to like find this character because I was like trying to do other stuff. I was like, I want to try this one and this one. And then I was like, I just need something basic and fun where I just go in the world and do one thing. And I really wanted to try Forge Master. And I will say it's not real, like it's not huge. So if you're going to use it, it's not like you can play your whole game around it in general. Yeah. But it is a great add-on that it changes the smithing just enough, like Ray had said before, to give it some, make it feel new, add a little bit of newness to it. So, I'm enjoying it in that way. And also, I'm enjoying the more stripped down, no legacy, no no museums, no houses, nothing like that.
Just I think I'm going to skip Legacy next time. Although, so another piece of the puzzle in the last, for me anyway, in the last couple of weeks, I finally upgraded my graphics card. So, I bought a 4070. I decided not to go all the way to the far end, but I got a nice 4070. And I'll tell you what, it's very nice playing a heavily modded Skyrim at 60 frames plus instead of 20 frames or whatever it was on my, on my old card. So, and I can play Valheim now in 4K, you know, without the jet engine fans running on the, so it's been very nice. So that was, that was another sort of impetus when this last mod finally broke me. I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go download a big Wabbajack, mod list, and the ones that I couldn't possibly run before, like Elysium or something like that, and just sort of go forth and see how the 4070 does with that.
So I did see in Discord, Ice Cream Assassin announced version 6 will be coming soon. They're working on beta right now.
Oh, really?
Didn't really say exactly what is going to be in this one, but
what about Odyssey though? I thought they were working on that exclusively now.
Oh yeah.
I haven't heard peep on that for a while.
Okay, because I thought his last, maybe one of the last ones I read was that they weren't going to update Legacy until they got Odyssey of the Dragonborn out. But maybe that's changed. I don't know.
Yeah, must have, because they're definitely.
Well, that's cool. I'll look forward to version 6, and maybe I'll try it again. I've never even gotten to the planetarium, I'm afraid. So
the planetarium's great. Start collecting the stuff as soon as you start playing the game.
Yeah. Especially Dwemer cogs, right?
Yeah. As much Dwemer stuff as you can grab, just grab all of it every single time.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need a lot. That's for sure.
Yeah. One of the things I did regret with this last one, I think I won't use it again, was there's a mod, it's an add-on curator or something, or I can't remember exactly which it was. But it's, it turns off the crafting, it turns off the ability for when you craft for the game or the mod to draw, ingredients from all the chests. In other words, so you have to put everything in your inventory to make potions or something. Whereas Legacy of the Dragonborn comes with that, with a module that allows you to use things directly from chests, right? Whatever.
Like a universal stash.
Yeah. This mod turns that off, and that became really tedious, to have to, when you got every freaking ingredient on the planet, and many, many, many of each one, you either have to do a lot of research and know exactly which ones you want, or you just empty the chest into your inventory, stagger around for a while, make some potions, and then go clickety, clickety, clickety to get it all back. It's just really a pain in the ass. I understand that it avoids certain crashes and things like that, but it was just a pain.
But it doesn't, it does nothing to fix rage quits.
No. Yes. God. Yeah. Well, if there's a take all, but there isn't a give all, right? So you can't why? There must be some mechanic that doesn't work that way. I understand that from a programming perspective, it doesn't work, but it would be nice if there was a put all or whatever,
My Forge Master character is just short of master. And I've got the at your own pace, so I just started Dragons.
I love that mod, but man, it can be I was
hard to figure out how to get stuff to work.
Yes, it is. And I was like, the Thieves Guild is just, oh my God, how do you have to do another one of these freaking things? Because you walk up to Brynjolf and he's saying, you know, what can I do for you? Or whatever the line is, you know, what can I do for you? Okay, I got to go do another one. And then, that was starting to wear thin this last playthrough too. So, because I think I must have done, there are settings, right? I must have set it to like 25 or 30 or 40 of the city quests in order to progress to the next level. And I just hadn't done them yet. And Anyway, yes. At Your Own Pace is wonderful. There's a wonderful series of mods. I highly recommend them, but you really have to commit, don't you?
Yeah. Like I got lucky because I needed to go talk to Farangar. I needed to sell him some stuff. And then I saw this little line that said, are you researching dragons?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
So I asked him, and then so he tells you about the job he has to go to Bleak Falls Barrow.
Yep.
And so, and then I brought that one back and, he's like, my associate's going to be very pleased that you got this. And then that's it.
That's right.
Like, no, dude, where's Irelith?
Wait a minute.
Wait, I got to keep going. Come on.
What do I do now? Yeah. You're right. Because if you're so used to the game progression as it in the vanilla, the conversation prompts and stuff, you're not even looking for those little lines.
Right.
Yeah. But nevertheless, yeah. I really appreciate the thought behind the mods.
Yeah. And it's been very handy because, I don't pay a lot of attention. I don't care if I've got 1,000 undone quests in my log.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me.
Really? It just drives me fucking bonkers.
So, so it's easier for me to have everything, dying to get my attention than to, for me to actually have to go actively seek them out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that I try very hard not to get, but it's impossible in Skyrim not to sort of pollute your quest logs.
Oh, yes, that's for sure.
Yeah. And that also gets, but the Mage's Guild at Your Own Pace isn't too bad. I went through that one at Your Own Pace and it wasn't too bad. But the main quest, but the Thieves Guild, especially if you screw around with the triggers, which you can do if you go into the MCM, it does. I think I overdid it a little bit.
Mm. And usually if I'm going to do the Thieves Guild, I use a mod. I think it's called All at One Time.
Yeah.
So you can stack, all three of the different types of, jobs from both NPCs.
Oh, so the bedlam, the fishing, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So you basically carrying around six jobs at a time.
That's a much better idea. Yeah. I like
so that. You can get through it pretty quick.
I wonder if that's compatible with At Your Own Pace. I wonder if you could do, probably not. I was just before I had a business phone call, which is why I was late. But before that, I was just starting the process of updating all my mods and mod organizer to what, if there's any that need updates since I upgraded to this latest Skyrim version. Hmm. I think it's been enough weeks and months now since the the big, you know, Modpocalypse 3 or whatever.
God, it was. Yeah, when was that? That was a while ago.
Yeah,
right?
It was. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So it might have been even late last year. I don't know.
I think it might have been. I think
most of the mods have been either updated or taken offline. So
yeah.
So it'll be a process to get all these things updated. But I've been playing a lot of Valheim recently. So
oh, nice.
Yeah.
I was in Minecraft still until I figured out a character that took me away from it. Yeah. I was just building, you know, just mindlessly building a village, but until I found this character to take me away from it. Right. Were you saying in Discord that you had another mod you were messing with, or a set of mods you were messing with or something?
Yeah. So I had to kind of take a pause from it because of one of the mods, I couldn't get the MCM to work. And so I've posted a message and, you know, hopefully, but I wanted to kind of stop where I was at. But I was watching a Soft Gaming video, and he was talking about a collection of mods that completely changed the way Skyrim works for leveling. And so I thought, no, I'll give it a try. It took a fair amount of finagling. You know, there's some INI files you have to mess with. There's, you know, it's several mods that have to click together, you know, to be able to really make it work. And so it changes the way that Skyrim levels. So Gon is, you know, making 1,000 iron daggers to level, you know, no more, you know, sneaking in the balcony of Dragon's Reach, to level, you know, your sneak. So now, With this group of mods, it's more like Fallout 4. So you gain experience, so you get XP for, you know, discovering locations, for clearing out dungeons, and for fighting enemies.
So is the mod called Experience?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I used that once. Probably only casually, though. I did not. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nope. So then you pair that with geometric stat growth.
Ooh. Okay.
Skyrim skill uncapper.
Oh, that's an oldie.
Leveling freedom.
Yeah.
And the one that I was having trouble with is static skill leveling rewritten.
Oh.
And so that's the one where, so when you level, you get skill points.
Oh, okay.
And so then you can take those skill points and apply them to the various skills that you want to level up.
Huh. Interesting.
And so it definitely it's hard to break the habits of how you do things in Skyrim.
Yeah.
You know, you get to a certain point and, you know, there's critical mass. You know, you just don't think that, you know, oh, instead of, you know, fighting these, you know, skeevers at the skeever farm, you know, to level one-handed, I need to discover more locations.
Yeah.
And, you know, clear out some dungeons. But it's been interesting. They also pair up a couple of other things. So Dragon Soul perk points. So you can, you know, convert Dragon Souls into perk points.
That's cool. Oh, so it's a cocktail of mods, basically. Yeah. That's nice. Because I tried Experience when it first came out. I remember seeing it on one of those same videos that people were talking about. So I tried it out. And it, you know, it was interesting, but I didn't really delve very deep.
Yeah. And sky shards, which is there's you know, these little markers all over the map
that
you can get and unlock perk points when you collect multiples. So that's fun. And then also Exhaustion, which is a mod that
I just saw that too, actually.
As you're exerting yourself.
No.
You get, you know, if you don't sleep, you get debuffs. They pair that with exercise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is a mod that gives you extra health and stamina and magicka, you know, by exercising those skills.
So you just bunny hop a lot.
Yeah. Well, sprint everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the exhaustion thing and the bunny hopping, that's like too much like Valheim, you know, because
that is true. Actually. You know, yeah.
And, yeah. And that's one of the things that annoys me the most. I love Valheim, but that's one of the little pet peeves of that is like, it's like, oh my God, I'm so fucking sick of this stamina. You know, you have to wait for that bar to raise. But, you know, once you sort of learn how to kind of science out the food and eat right.
Yes.
And that's what the game wants you to do. That's fair. Then it works, but it's still.
Yeah. I saw exercise and exhaustion actually when I was doing the Forge Master load order. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll add these. I was like, no, not this time.
Do they actually work well together?
Or
do they kind of cancel each other out?
They work well together because it, you know, with your exercise, you don't get tired as much. And if you don't get tired as much, then you don't get debuffs from not getting enough sleep.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I haven't played a lot with this character because of the problem I had with the static skill leveling rewritten mod is that I couldn't get the MCM to show up.
Oh boy.
Yeah. To be able to go in and configure the settings. And, you know, I found the INI file, but editing the INI file doesn't change the in-game stats.
Yeah.
So it has to have the MCM, but I can't get that to pop. So I tried using the command line to get the MC to initialize. That didn't work. And then I tried the Jackson's MCM kicker. Which is essentially the same thing, only it's just automated.
Yeah.
And that didn't get it going either. So I'm not sure. So
there's no alternative to the MCM. Some mods have like a, you know, like a book or a, you know, something like that you can read and get to the same menu prompts.
No. And I thought I would be able to edit the INI file.
Yeah.
But it didn't change anything. So it's reading the info from somewhere else.
Yeah. Laura.
But, you know, I can always roll back into my Forge Master and play around with that. Cause I still haven't gotten that one to master. So, and now that I've got the dragons unlocked, I'll start gathering dragon parts. Because I didn't have the dragons started, before I went to the word wall, at Northwind Summit, all I had to fight up there was, some wolves and a couple of skeletons, in order to get the book on, dragon smithing.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you were able to get it.
So I got it. I got it the easy way. But so now I'll start doing dragon weapons.
Nice.
But the character is kind of fun. I did usually if I'm going to do a smithing character, it'll be an orc. But this time I went with a Red Guard.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Which, you know, gets the smithing bonus.
Yeah.
But is also good. I'm doing a dual wielding.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Mason War Axe.
Hmm. I'm doing two War Axes.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, he's swinging a hammer, so, at the, as a smith, so. Yeah. Might as well swing two axes.
So my Forge Master character also I'm running a collection that I've had for a while now, ever since the mod apocalypse.
Yeah.
And it's got the what's it called? Clean and something. So it. As you run around, you get dirty, and if you do a lot of fighting, you get bloody. And if you go to a vendor and you haven't bathed, then you pay more.
Oh God!
So it gives you a debuff to speech. If you go, to a water source and bathe, so you go through this little animation where you take off all your gear and you just soap up and rinse off, and then you're all clean, and now you get max price for all your stuff.
That's cool. Does that work with bathing in Skyrim?
I don't know. I haven't used them. This is the first. I didn't even know I had this mod.
Oh, okay.
Until somebody told me I stank.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, man.
So then I looked in the, I looked in my active effects and, it said that I was dirty and bloody. And so I had a minus 15 speech.
Yeah, because there is a mod called Bathing in Skyrim that adds, baths and places that you can actually go to. It's not just a plain old water source.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the cat exorcism.
He's like going to shoot right across the top of the laptop because Ollie's got his tail just on the other side of the laptop. And I'm like, this is not a good idea, guys.
What happens if I touch this key?
Yeah. What if I run across every key and try and bite his tail in the process? And then we fight right here.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Oh, God. One thing. I assume you guys talked about this on the Fallout feed, but I did watch the Fallout show.
We're at episode 4 right now.
All
right.
Yeah, I would say, no, I'm not going to spoil anything or anything like that. I would say it definitely caught the vibe of the game.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like it got better as it continued.
I think it's awesome, frankly. I think
I enjoyed it a lot.
Superb job on it.
We blew through it in like two nights or three nights or whatever it was. And it really felt like it got the Fallout vibe, right?
Yeah. So we're doing an episode a week.
Mm. Good. So episode are you on now?
We just did 3.
3. Okay.
So
yeah,
that's in the Fallout feed. And it's called Vault Talk.
Vault Talk. Okay. Yeah. No, I think they very much, they're clearly, Jonathan Nolan, right? He and his brother both are fans of gaming and the game in general.
Yeah.
And they totally got all the little inside jokes and stuff and the humor and the sort of quirkiness of the whole thing. And they also, I think they did a wonderful job of adapting the story for a TV show, for the drama. They added some things in that aren't in the game, but nothing really outrageous. Some sort of dramatic plot twists and things like that. I think they really did a great job so far. Yeah. Anyway, it's like I said, we're only on episode 4, and even Vivian, who is not by any means a video game fan, is really enjoying it. So
there's enough good, drama and action and storytelling.
Yes.
You know, for a, you know, for somebody that isn't also enjoying its connection to the game.
Yeah. And they made it accessible.
To enjoy it.
Exactly. Yeah. They made the story accessible. You don't have to know. It's fun to know all the little inside things, but you don't have to.
Right.
You know? No. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's super well done. I'm really impressed by it.
Yeah. Yeah. I had my wife watch the first episode. She doesn't do gory.
Yes.
There's I will say, there is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, there was a lot of this going on next to me. Yeah.
Same. Yeah. Exact reaction here.
Yeah. But other than that, it was, you know, but then there's this, you know.
We've been having a good time with it. So.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. It is wonderful to be able to say that somebody did a really great job at adapting a video game. I mean, that can only bode well. Maybe maybe somebody will do a series based on, say, Far Cry, maybe, or...
You know, kind of like when, you know, the comic book movies started really, you know, getting traction.
Yeah.
You know, next thing you know, everybody's doing a comic book movie.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, so the game movies have been, you know, starting to gain a little bit of traction. So, yeah.
But I mean, they've already tried what several of the really big franchises, right? Assassin's Creed kind of failed, didn't it? I mean, that wasn't,
The movie. Yeah.
So yeah, this is,
Witcher was
good. Yes.
That was good.
But that's already books, right? So there's a really deep lore there already. Yeah. I guess maybe, you know. But
you know, probably the one that really kind of, you know, kicked it off most recently. So you know, Cyberpunk was kind of floundering a little bit. They were struggling to keep people interested, and you know, they had some big updates that they had planned and a DLC that they were going to release, but you know, they were starting to hemorrhage players.
Yeah.
And then they released their anime, and that was huge. It really took off. And then, you know, the advantage they had with the anime was that, you know, they could do whatever they wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, and it ended up, you know, there were, you know, four distinctive characters, that you could build in the game and play them.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, they integrated their, you know, their unique, weapons and clothing into the game so that you could, you know, truly duplicate them, in the game. And that was a lot of fun. At that point, you know, the game took off again.
Yeah.
And then they had a bunch of, updates, and then the, Phantom Liberty, DLC. And so it really, it gave them the kick in the pants they needed. And the Fallout shows had a huge impact in the game.
Oh, bet it has. Yeah.
You know, Fallout 76 with over 1 million players.
Yeah. Has Fallout 4 come back a bit too?
Yeah. They released the
next gen update.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. Thank you for reminding me. Cause I have my Fallout 4 set. Like I do the Skyrim to only update on launch. And of course I'm using it through mod organizer. So I haven't. So is it safe to update?
Probably. I can't give any concrete answer to that because, you know, I did the read only with the archive.
Okay.
So, you know, I can't even accidentally update my game.
Yeah.
It's locked down so hard. So is my Skyrim.
Step sideways there, but why is that better than just simply, maybe it works different with Vortex, but I mean, if you're running strictly through Mod Organizer and SKSE, there's no chance that it's going to trigger an update.
Well, except
okay,
that you can have a Steam app update that resets that.
Mm. Oh, okay. I guess that's never happened to me. So
because I had that happen with Skyrim.
Okay.
I had Skyrim set as, you know, update only if I launch it. And then a Skyrim update happened, and all of a sudden all my mods are borked.
You know what? That happened that like three or four years ago that happened to me, and I never realized that maybe that's what did it. Okay.
Yeah. The Steam application had some kind of an update that reset that.
Okay.
And so that's why I went and, you know, it's locked it down so that it's read only, you know, in as you know, in Windows.
Okay. The whole directory. Or just the game files.
Yeah, there's a particular file now. I can't remember what it's called.
Okay.
Was
it in app data or something like that?
It's yeah, something like that. All right, let me see. It'll be real quick here. Steam apps, app manifest files.
Oh, okay.
So you have an app manifest file for each one of the games that you have loaded. And so you look at the game and get its ID, mm-hmm. and then you can go into the Steam apps directory and find the app manifest for that.
And make that read only.
And then make that a read only file.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
And then even if that auto update flag gets flipped without you knowing it, it still can't update.
Okay.
But I'm going to have to update my Fallout 4 because I really, really, really want to play Fallout London.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
And so when Fallout London comes out, it'll be keyed to the new game.
Yeah.
So that was my big heartbreak was that Fallout London had announced April 23rd as their release date. And so everything was built into that date. It's coming. And then you know, April 13th or 14th, whenever it was that, you know, they announced that on April 25th, they were going to release the next gen update on Fallout. Mm. And so then Fallout London Group came out and said, hey, you know, we're not going to release until after the update. We're going to have to go through and adjust the game to play on the new version. So
yeah, and so they haven't hasn't come back yet.
No, because now they went to the next gen file management scheme. So now they've got, you know, they did the same thing to it. It's what they developed for Starfield,
mm-hmm.
and they've already applied it to Skyrim.
Skyrim, yeah.
And so now they've applied that to Fallout as well. So it changes the way that you know, files interact with each other. And so now Fallout London has to go through and, you know, go through all of their code and check it against the you know, the new form.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But it'll all be worth it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, you should totally try to update yours so that I've got something to work with.
Yeah, well, I haven't. I have one. I've been playing, just sort of dabbling occasionally. I run in. It's another WebAjack mod list. I forget what it's called. But again, it's been about it's less than a month now, 2 or 3 weeks since the next gen update. Yeah. So I'm going to check into Wavajack and see if there's any updates.
So I know that the script extender has been updated.
Yeah.
And address library has been updated.
Okay. Those seem to be the two major ones that so many other mods rely on, especially the address library. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, it's like Fallout 4's version of, you know, of what you want to play is Sim Settlements, right? I mean, I wanted to play Legacy of the Dragonborn and Skyrim. I wanted to mess around with Sim Settlements in Fallout 4. Yeah. And, so if anything that's sort of affected that, I'll have to go back and restart. And whatever I've enjoyed the little bit that I have messed with Sim Settlements. It's come a long way since the first time I ever tried it.
Oh yeah.
And so it's pretty good. In a lot of the same, it's gone down a similar path, right? Hasn't it? I mean, they've added a lot of quests to the mod, just like Legacy of the Dragonborn did and stuff. Yeah. It's no longer just a sort of a framework. So, it's been a lot of fun.
And they just recently added a later game level quest system into it. To give it a little more longevity.
Yeah. 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 Well, anyway, back to the Fallout show. I just love the way they sort of integrated what pretty much all of the Bethesda / Obsidian versions of Fallout, you know, little bits of each one. And, you know, it's been really, really cool. It's done such a great job.
Yeah, really well done. I liked all the characters kind of felt like they should be in that world.
Yeah.
It all kind of felt good.
I was a little surprised that there aren't, it's not really a plot thing. I don't know what to say. There's a certain major creature faction that isn't present in the game, or I mean in the show yet. Maybe it will be, I don't know, maybe they will appear
in season two,
maybe. Yeah So that kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
I hear lots of cats in the background.
It's just one. It's just one. Yeah. That's only the one.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
And the other one's sitting in the background behind you looking at I don't know what he's doing.
That's right. Not crazy. One me. Yeah.
I'm just a good kitty.
It's amazing. It's like it's almost like there's not another person downstairs where the kitchen is where they eat. Almost like that.
Yeah.
Oh god. Yeah. Anything new going on in No Man's?
So we are chomping at the bit now because they mentioned that there would be an update.
They gave another mentions.
That's most certainly going to be a new expedition.
Cool.
So definitely geared up for that. So still having a great time with all the new content. You know, the update that they released
wasn't that long ago, right? 2 months ago, maybe?
Yeah, it was. Gosh, when was that?
February?
Yeah, late February, early March. I can't remember now. It's all blurred together.
Something like that, right?
That's just been a blast. The new space stations, everything, it's just so cool.
What about the sorry, not to derail the No Man's Sky, but wasn't there a recent big update to Starfield?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's coming up.
Oh, that's
the middle of this month. So it released on beta.
Beta, okay. Because there were lots of YouTubes, you know, changes the game completely and all this crap.
Yeah. Okay. So that, and
Major Slack was the big one that I saw.
Yeah. He's, he does, you know, in the process of the video, mention that it's not available to everybody,
yeah.
you know, for a while. But yeah, it's kind of been the tone of all the videos is it's like it's out.
Yeah. Okay.
But and if you're playing on PC, you can load it.
Yeah.
As part of the beta program.
Yeah.
But it doesn't officially come out until it's like the 14th or 15th of May.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, that's coming up soon.
And then it'll completely change the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It does have a really big change to it. They're going to get a No Man's Sky-like character creation menu.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To where you can, you know, where you can toggle different settings for each of the, you know, the different functions of the game.
Nice.
You know, so now they'll, you know, you can have combat, you know, ground combat extremely high. The big change that they've done is that, you know, everybody, when you change those settings, you get, you know, changes in the game. So you get, you know, more XP, you know, this and that. Well, on Starfield, they actually tell you how much XP.
Mm.
So either, you know, plus or minus, you know, depending on whether you make it too easier or harder.
Yeah. He showed a little bit of that menu. Yeah. Which is kind of cool, right? So if you take the buff here, you get a debuff there. So it was basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's looking good. I've been playing on very hard for a while now, and it very quickly becomes not hard enough.
Oh.
So looking forward to, you know, the extreme sliders. We like to play No Man's Sky, you know, completely maxed out.
Yeah.
You know, to where everything is trying to kill you really fast. and I promise it's fun.
Oh, man.
Some games are that way. I remember when I played Horizon Zero Dawn, and I just happened to start the game in ultra hard mode, and I've never played it in any other way, and it's wonderful.
Once you get used to it, you know. Now, you know, if I can see if you're playing a story that, you know, you want to be able to take your time and, mm-hmm. you know, easily progress to the next chapter of the story.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't want to, you know, reload 100 times to kill one guy.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're just there for the battles, then you want it to be as hard as it can be.
Yeah,
that's true. That is true. It's getting loud over here.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's not even close to time to eat, by the way. oh, gosh. Yeah. So let's see. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So if you're watching the Fallout show, make sure you check out the Fallout feed.
Definitely.
For their weekly coverage of it. Yes, I have finished it. So if we talk about it next time, I'll probably have forgotten everything by then. because that's how my brain works at this point.
It'll be another couple, 3 weeks before we finish it all.
Yeah, it's like, oh, 3 weeks ago? I remember that. What was that again?
Yeah. I rewatch each episode, the afternoon before the
that
show.
That way it's fresh that so way. Yeah.
At least got, you know.
That's an excellent way to do it. Of course, make sure you check out Butcher and Baker Candlestick Maker in Space for No Man's Sky coverage there. And we have Elder Scrolls coverage. Oh, I hear birds too. Does somebody have birds in the back?
That's probably me. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We got all the wildlife.
I got my window open. I got a little, there's a robin out there, and there's a couple of house finches that are extremely vocal.
I was like, we can't open the windows because the clouds of pine pollen have started blowing across New Jersey.
Yeah.
And up where we are is not too bad, but at work, it is literally the sky is yellow all day. It's that time of year. So we're keeping in tight in here with some filtered air. So
last week I went to Southern California and came home and it's like, oh yeah, that's right. We're soaked in pollen. Achoo, achoo, achoo.
Yeah. Achoo. Oh, it's that time of year. Home. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
How quickly
everything I own is yellow now. That's right.
Yeah. Well, just count yourselves lucky. At least a small measure that you don't have to park underneath the mulberry tree.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
Because mulberry trees have two traits. One is they have the little fruit that drops on your car.
Yep.
And they also have the birds that nest in the tree and crap all over your car.
Yeah.
So you get,
After eating those extremely dark berries.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
luckily, they're delicious berries that I also eat in the morning when I go to work. So grab a few and eat them.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, that's been another episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And I have a cat clawing at the back of my chair as we speak. So we'll talk to you all next time.
Good night, all.
Take care.